Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing? Glory, glory, glory. We're winding it down, right? Praise God. And actually, this may be my last session because I may not be here next week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually do a review. So we're going to kind of go over some highlights of the things we covered this semester. And what we cover today in class is what you're going to see on your final. All right. You may not even have, even I know the on-campus students don't have to do the quizzes. But for the students who are online, I may not put a quiz or anything like that. So just make sure you take good notes and go back and listen to the video. Let's go ahead and start. Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing by your Spirit, Lord God. We just thank you right now for the apostolic government that we're under. We thank you, Lord God, that through this semester, Lord God, we have learned how to walk in honor, Lord God, and how to, Lord God, honor the man and the woman of God that you've put under our lives. How to walk in loyalty, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, how not to let offense, Lord God, slow us and stop the process of what you have called us to do. And we thank you for what you're doing by your Spirit. And Lord, as always, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, Lord, I fall flat on my face. So I lean on and depend on him completely and totally. All right. One of the first things, now this is something we talked about last semester, but I didn't really emphasize it enough in the second semester. But one of the things I said last semester was the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed that you can sow greater than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life when you sow an honor seed. That's so very important. If you don't remember anything else in the class, understand that when you sow an honor seed, when you honor your man of God and you sow up into the anointing, the what's on the anointing comes down into your life. Amen. All right. Also, too, we talked a lot about humility this semester. I want to start off by Proverbs 15 and 33, I think it is. It says the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor. So when you walk in humility, honor is knocking at the door. And when we talk about humility, humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul to submit itself totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. I'm going to read that again. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's soul, because your spirit already wants to do the will of God. Your spirit is already in tune and in alignment with God. But it's the sum total capacity of a person's soul to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. And that's so very important that we understand that, because it says in Proverbs, I think it's 18 and 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility. And so we always want to walk in humility. And when we do that, we can't help but walk in honor. Amen? All right. We talked about obedience. And we said that obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. And the reason why we said that, because even in sacrifice, there's an element of self. You know, a good example was Saul. He offered up sacrifices, but God wanted obedience. You know, but even in obedience, you could obey in action, but not really being submitted in heart. You know, so submission is even you want to submission is when you totally just I just totally submit my spirit, my soul, and my body to the will of God to walk in humble humility. And when you walk in submission, you can't help but be blessed. Amen. So obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. But you want to not only be obedient, but you also want to walk in submission. Amen. All right. There's a scripture that we read in Proverbs 27 and 18 that says, "Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." This scripture shows an example of sowing to produce honor. And it's talking about the word waiting. Waiting means to serve. You know, we talked about a waiter at a restaurant. Matter of fact, I ate at a restaurant this afternoon, and the waiter came up to me. He asked me what my drink order was. I told him I wanted a tea, and then he came back later and asked me what I wanted for lunch. I told him I wanted the baked fish, you know, and then he came back. He topped off my glass. So he was constantly working. You see, the Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's not talking about sitting in a corner waiting for something to happen. That's talking about you. When you wait upon the Lord, you do like Elijah did to Elijah. Serve. You serve. When you serve, you know, you see, and through your service and your submission, it's going to produce honor, you know. And that's so very important that we understand that. It says, "Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof." So he that waited on his master or serve his master shall be honored. And Elijah was a perfect example of how he served his man of God, Elisha, you know, and it produced honor in his life. Amen. Amen. Also, too, and I kind of tapped on this a little while ago when I talked about the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. In Hebrews 7:7, it talks about upward giving. And let me read that. It says, "Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." In other words, you're blessed when you sow up to the better, or to the greater, you know, to an anointing that's greater than yours. This scripture shows that upward giving, sowing up so that the blessings of God can come down. And that's what you want. You want to sow up into the anointing so that the blessings of God can come down in your life. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there is a scripture, and I talk about it quite a bit, where Aaron being the high priest and how the anointing all came down on Aaron. And when you sow into anointed Saul, you can't help but be blessed. Amen. Okay. We also talked a lot about loyalty, and I'm going to share a few things about it here. Loyalty is a state of being loyal, faithful, one who is full of faithfulness and commitment. Somebody who is steadfast, sticking to one's assignment, you know, and you're faithful and you're committed to a cause or vision. You want to be loyal. Loyalty is one of the attributes of honor, because when you're loyal, you know, you have no other allegiances. You have no other agenda. You know, you're loyal to the vision and to the pastor or to the apostle or to whomever God called you to serve under. And it's so very important that the Bible says stewards should be found faithful. And that word faithful and loyalty run akin, you know. So let a man account of us as stewards of God, but so let a steward be found faithful. And that's so very important, you know, at loyalty and that stewardship, you know, being faithful and walking in loyalty. Amen. All right. Loyalty also, loyal members. When you are loyal to your man of God, you will always comply with the dictates that comes down from the head. In other words, you're not going to challenge. You're not going to. Matter of fact, times we might be given instructions, and my head want to go in another direction. I just said, no, I'm not even thinking in that direction. I'm going to comply, you know, because I use this illustration. If I'm an airplane pilot and I'm about to land, say, at LaGuardia or at Hatfield in Atlanta, you know, one of the major busy airports in the United States. And as I approach the runway and the airport, I get instructions from the flight, control tower. And they have instruments, sophisticated radar. They can see things I can't see with my naked eye, you know. And so I have to comply, you know, even though it may look good, look like, hey, I got a clear path to the runway. They know there's six other planes ahead of me that needs to land, that may be running low on fuel, and they may tell me to circle, you know, and hold my position, you know. And you have to, you see, when you're placed under apostle, God gives him a vision and he has a heaven to earth connection. And a lot of times we can only see so far with our spiritual senses. And we may not quite always understand, but when you comply, when you're faithful, you're going to comply with the dictates of the leader, you know, without, you know, because if I'm driving that plane, I have 100, 200 lives, you know, that I'm accountable for. So I want to make sure that I get the proper instruction. So just getting back to that last loyal members always comply with the directives that come from the head. Amen. All right, let's move on. We also talked about hindrances to honor, things that hinder us walking in honor. One of the biggest hindrances to honor is when you walk in offense. Remember I said offense, when you walk in offense, you off in the process of what God's trying to do in your life. The Bible says to not let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, always get it straight. You know, there was a song by DC Talk, Before the Sun Goes Down, you know, because it's gonna hinder your way to freedom. You know, so you want to always not walk in offense. Offense causes displeasure. It causes anger. It causes resentment or wounds, feelings, hurts in your soul when you're walking in offense. Because if somebody offend you, if you're not careful, it's going to start to hurt and be like a thorn in the flesh or a wound in the soul, you know, and it's going to cause you to become upset. And because you're upset of a certain outcome. And that's why you have to, the Bible says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, you know, and not allow offenses to off-end the process of what God is trying to do in our lives. Offenses, hurts, and unresolved conflicts between people will usher good church-going believers down the road of disloyalty, which if not corrected, will cause them to walk in dishonor. I've seen people get offended and it affected their loyalty because of the offense. And before long, they were going in the right direction. All of a sudden, they made a wrong turn and they went down the wrong path, you know, because they didn't get the offense straight. They didn't, you know, say, Lord, you know, like David said, Lord, search my heart. And see, and even though it wasn't my fault, sometimes it's just good to say, look, brother, look, sister, whatever it is that's between me and you, whatever thing that's going on, I apologize. If I look wrong or act wrong, if I did anything to cause you to stumble, you know, because I, you know, see, when you do that, what happens now, God is able to continue to communicate to you. The channel is not clogged, you know, the power is still flowing. Because the heart, you know, is open and you have a repentant, even though sometimes it's not a matter of you repenting, it's just a matter of just getting it straight, you know, and getting the offense out. Amen. All right. Let me move on because I got a lot more to cover. I'm trying to get it all in. We talked about good loyal assistance. Okay. A good loyal assistant is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, rooted into the very heart of the ministry they are called to. They shall not be moved. You know, and I use the word assistant in regards to people who operate and function in the ministry of helps, if you remember. You know, and you see, when you have that loyalty, you know, you're like a tree that's planted. The scripture says by the rivers of water, not being moved. You know, in other words, I tell new members, when you first join the church, one of the things you want to do is to get your feet dug deep into the soil of the ministry. In other words, you know, being like a tree, an oak tree planted deep into the soil, because in this area, we know we got hurricanes and it'll cause you to, you know, the tree. But those trees that's planted deep in the ground, you might lose a few branches, a few leaves, but the main trunk is going to stand. In other words, you're not going to let an offense cause you to go in left field, you know, and get off the trail. All right. And that's so very important. I mean, all of those things will affect your, you know, you walking in honor. It's hindrance to it. A good loyal assistant in ministry can be compared to, we talked about them being an ambassador. An ambassador does not push their own ideas or agenda, but they push the idea and the agenda of the country that they are an ambassador for. You know, as a good loyal assistant, you know, you don't have your, you might have opinions, but, you know, I have no side agendas. My agenda is apostles' agenda. My agenda is Word of Life's vision, changing the lives of people with the Word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, the home of covenant winners. When I go to prison ministry, that's one of the first things I say. You know, we're the home of covenant winners. We're changing the lives of people with the Word of God. You know the vision of your church and get it down deep on the inside of you. Okay, because what that does, that helps you to be grounded. You know, that helps you to be grounded, and you want to be grounded and be an ambassador for your pastor. You know, just like an ambassador who represents the country. In other words, you're representing. When they see you, they need to see your man of God. When they see you, they need to see your man of God. You need to get out the way, and they need to see, because what I like is when people come up to me and says, "Who's your pastor?" You know, and I always let them know that really they shouldn't even ask, because that's one of the first things I say. I'm submitted to Apostle Leroy Thompson. I'm a member of Word of Life Christian Center. I work in the ministry of health. This is not my ministry, you know. So all of a sudden now I put the ministry front and center. So if you want more of what you hear, come and see. You know? And we've had guys who got out of prison who came and saw, and a lot of them who stayed for a season, you know. And that's because they didn't see me. They saw the vision, and they saw what the material the apostle was putting out. Here's a good one. All pastors should be under the submission of an apostle. This is God's proper order, or proper divine order, so that the flow of anointing can always flow down properly. And with that said, there was a scripture that I wanted to read. If I can find it right quick. Psalms 133, 1 and 3. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down the skirt of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore." The anointing of God always flows down from the head, down the skirt, down the shoulders, down the skirt, down the pants, into the fingers, and all the way down to the toes. When you position yourself properly, you're going to get a proper flow of anointing. And that's why it's so very important that pastors, stay submitted to their man of God. You know, because that's divine art. Every pastor needs to be under apostolic government, because the anointing that flows down from your man of God is, as you connect, I mean, you see the results. I see the results in LTMA churches because of the connection. The connection is evident, you know, because that same flow of anointing and then even the members, you know, what blesses me, and I'm going to say this because I know we have a lot of LTMA church is listening. What blesses me so much is when we go, like I'm going to be in Beaufort next week. And what blesses me so much is that you feel at home. You know, every church I go to is like I'm at Word of Life. You know, and the students who are there, they'll recognize me, and they'll come up to me, and they'll tell me how much they enjoy the classes and the school of ministry. You know, and it's a blessing to see how the vision of one man have affected so many, you know, and how it's changing the lives of people everywhere, you know, and it's causing us to flow as one man. You know, the apostle shared today about being an alliance of honorable men, you know, and how, you know, everybody flowing in the same vein, you know, and that's so very important. Let me move on. All right. Okay, one of the things I talked about too was that the kingdom of God is not a democracy. In other words, it's not the majority that rules. It's a theocracy. God in charge. And that's so very important to walk in honor, because it's not the majority of the people. No, Korah and his crew found that out. Moses was in charge. God called Moses. He didn't call Korah. You know, Korah had a gathering of people that, you know, even Lucifer had a gathering of angels, you know, but they weren't the ones who was supposed to be in charge. And see, what happened is when you try to come up and overrule and say, well, we got all these people that don't agree with you, you know, that's, it's not a democracy, it's a theocracy. The kingdom of God and his church is a theocracy form of government, where the pastor is in charge as God's representative in the church. A committee has no say-so in the kingdom of God, you know, and because they're getting their instructions from God. It's a God, and that's the way the kingdom of God is set up, you know, and that keeps down confusion. It should keep down strife and animosity. And basically, people who walk in dissension like that, eventually they're gonna be cut off, you know, and that's why it's so very important, like I said, to walk in that loyalty and to walk in that oneness, because that's the way the anointing. And see, a lot of times when we have dissenters and people who stir a little, you know, a little riffraff, it hinders the flow of God, because, you know, God is a God of unity. He's a God of oneness. When the praise and worship is going on and everybody is flowing in one accord, then the power of God can manifest itself in unlimited potentials, because there's no hidden agendas. But when there's some hidden agenda somewhere, it's gonna hinder. It's harder to get to where you want to get in God. But when you have, you know, I learned that in prison ministry. When I first started out in prison ministry, it was like breaking up foul ground, hard ground, because not everybody was in agreement. You had some resistors in the audience and some hesitators and some dissenters. But then once you got everybody in one vein, and people were in one accord, it was so easy to minister. It was almost like I was in another. It was almost like I was in a church, which I was, because that was the body of Christ. You know, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, you know. But I learned that, you know, when I'm, you know, back, I call it being on the backside of the mountain, that, you know, don't be moved by what you hear. Don't be moved by what you see. Only be moved by what the word says. And the word is always changing people's lives. Even though you may not see it, because that change starts on the inside and then it manifests itself on the outside. Let me move on. Okay, Jesus said, this is a statement Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. And I talked about this earlier, the anointing of God always flows down. Know where the source of your anointing comes from. Always stay small in your own eyes. When I say that, I mean, don't ever raise yourself or put yourself above measure. God has given to everybody the measure of faith, but don't think highly of yourself more so than you should. One of my dear friends in ministry, one day he and I was talking, and sometimes young pastors, young ministers, they're overzealous, because they know they have a call and they really wanting to get going and getting to do something, you know, and sometimes they recognize why I'm not recognized, why nobody, you know, nobody's calling on me, you know, and you never want to get the big head. You always want to stay small in your own eyes and stay like Elijah, stay faithful. Like the people said, they were looking for somebody to do something extravagant. And they said, well, I know a man who poured water on Elijah's hand. Why? Because he stayed faithful to his man of God. And so he was able to get the transfer of anointing because he honored Elijah. You know, Elijah did twice as many miracles as his spiritual father, because he was faithful to the end. And he said, well, you know, what would you want me to grant to you? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And because he kept his eye on the man of God, his request was granted. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. One of the most important things you need to know in regarding to your pastor or your apostle, you've got to know their heart. If you want to walk in honor, you've got to know their heart. You know, ask God, Lord, show me my man of God's heart. You know, what's motivating him? And that's God, you know. But when you know their heart, the compassion, the thing that keeps them going, that burning desire, and say, Lord, I want that. Apostle quoted some scriptures, might have been last Sunday or so, in one of the Psalms, might have been Psalm 63. My soul thirsts for thee. My heart longs hard after thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Thus have I beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. I remember I reading a passage of that in one of Smith Wigglesworth's book. And right at the beginning of the chapter, it says, my soul thirsts for thee, you know, or longs hard after thee. When you know your man of God's heart, then, Lord, I want that. Lord, you know, let what was motivating him affect me. So that and that's the beauty of it, knowing your man of God's heart. Amen. All right. And I shared this scripture already, but before destruction, the heart is haughty, and before honor is humility. You always want to walk in humility. Amen. All right, now we're going to look at some penalties right quickly of dishonor. We're going to start off with David. David was a man after God's own heart. But being at the wrong place at the wrong time, all his men were out at battle. So he goes on top of the castle. He looks down. He sees Bathsheba. And you know, we know what happens next. But because of the penalty of David's sin, there's always consequences. One of the penalties of David's dishonor towards his servant Uriah was that the son that he and Bathsheba bore would die. You know, sin always has consequences. You know, God will forgive you, but you know, there's consequences. Yeah, you were in adultery, you know, but you know, and God will forgive you. But, you know, as a result of that, either you got pregnant or you ended up with AIDS. That's a consequence of sin, you know, and I'm just using it as an example, you know. And that's why one of the things, like David said, Lord, you know, search me, know my heart. And I tell young men, young women, I said, when temptation come and the fire is raging, run, run, run. And that's, I mean, you know, and don't be ashamed of it, you know, don't be ashamed of it, you know. I remember one time I ran, and then the Lord said, listen up. And once I came to myself, he said, what you need to do is go back and witness, you know. And I did, and the person ended up getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. He turned a devilish situation into a godly salvation. You know, but when he said, son, get down off the floor and sit back on the couch. That was his instructions. I was on the floor. And he said, get off the floor and sit back on it. And I was ready to just run. And I felt stupid. But all of a sudden, I'm saying, okay, Lord, what I'm gonna do now? He said, pull out the track that you got in your book sack and start to witness. You know, and hey, she got saved. Praise God. I'm gonna leave that alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Uriah. Let's talk about Uzziah. Uzziah, the king. Okay, it's a dangerous thing to step into another man's office. You know, God bless Uriah. He was king, and God gave him witty inventions for the military. And as long as he sought the Lord, the scripture said, he prospered. God prospered him. You know, you always want to stay in your area of anointing, you know, because when you are more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. You know, so when you stay in your area, if God blessed you with a singing voice, well, then you need to be singing. You know, you don't need to be ushering, because God has equipped you with a voice to glorify him. You know, if you have business savvy and good with numbers, well, you need to be in accounting and making sure that the books are right. You know, and if God called you to be a teacher, don't try to be a prophet. You know, now he may promote you to that particular position, you know, because a lot of times people want to do things that's glamorous. I remember when I was a student at Southern, and I had orchestrated like a little revival, and one of the other students was kind of emceeing the program. So he was up on the stage and sharing things with the people. And I'm in the back, and I'm saying to myself, you know, he's up there on stage, and I got all the speakers lined up, the praise and worship. I went to Radio Shack and got the mics and all the extras, and he's getting all the credit. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, son, I have called you to work in the background. In other words, he began to share with me about supportive ministries. He says, not everybody's going to be on the stage, you know, but what you do, like I said, you are more anointed doing what God called you to do, you know. So, and you see, when you do it unto God, God sees it and he's going to reward you. So don't worry about where your position is and whether or not people see you. Just make sure you're doing what God called you to do, you know, because promotion don't come from them anyway. It comes from the Lord. All right, let's move on. All right, almost there. The last thing we talked about the last couple of weeks was how to reap honor rewards. How to reap honor rewards. And as leaders need to create serving opportunities for up and young coming ministry gifts so that they can develop their gifts. At the same time, the author says there must be an exit strategy. And I thought about that a little while ago when I was looking over that. And it's not being really, not that you exit the ministry, but once you get developed, you still need to stay connected, even though you may be launched out in ministry. You know, I know a lot of people who sat and served and the apostle or say, look, you know, I'm going to support you. But then all of a sudden you don't see them no more. So they exited, you know, when they should have stayed connected, you know. When God, you know, I only have one natural father. You know, there might have been men in my life who mentored me, like coaches or teachers, you know, they were like teachers. You know, the Bible says, though there be 10,000 teachers, yet there are not many fathers. You know, just like you only have one father naturally, you really should only have one spiritual father, you know, because that's who God has assigned you and called you to, you know, and your blessing, everything you need in life that you desire, where you want to go, is going to come through your man of God when you connect properly and serve properly, because now you walking in honor. Amen. And that's so very important. You know, don't get up and run. So you should, you know, the exit strategy is stay connected. If you're not exiting, you're staying connected. Amen. All right. We talked about commission. You know, when you are commissioned, you are properly ordered, granted authority, and sent out. You know, we talked about first being called. Remember, there's a calling on your life, but the call comes from God. But the commission or the laying on of hands comes from the person that you're sitting under, your pastor, your apostle, you know. And that commission is when you're properly ordered, granted authority, and sent out. You are authorized by God and God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is the proper order of the kingdom of God. You know, you don't want to just go. You want to be sent. And if you're not sent, you need to stay. You know, there's no other way to put it. You know, no other way to put it. You know, let's move on. I got about 6 minutes left. Also, too, in the areas of reaping the rewards of honor. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, neglect not the gift that's in thee. You know, I believe in my heart that God has blessed each and every one of us with a special gift and special talent. And so don't neglect the gift that's in thee, you know. And then there are times the scripture goes on to say, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbyter. There have been times in my life where hands were laid upon me. And I know there were certain gifts or certain talents or abilities that was bestowed, but that came through delegated authority. And it's so very important not to neglect that. In other words, nurture it, develop it, spend time with God and begin to get God's, you know, wisdom on where do I go from here. You know, I always talk about the time when I first met Apostle and my wife and I went for counseling some 28, 29 years ago, maybe 30. And he looked at me and said, son, you need to be pastored. You say, so you got a call of God on your life, but that needs to be nurtured. He said, I'm not asking you to leave your church, but you can come and sit under my ministry and just you need to just glean from the ministry. And like I said, I was kind of scared because I had never ran into somebody who could look at me and just read me like a book. You know, I mean, it was like, you know, I was just intimidated. I said, whoa, you know, and it took me a while to come to realization that that's where I needed to be, you know, but I thank God I stopped resisting and I submitted. And here I am today. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. And I thank God for that. You know, God will. I'm leading into my next thing. The most important thing, in the destiny of your life is to fulfill the call of God that God has for your life. You know, to honor God with that call, you know, and that's one of the most important things that you could do is to honor God with the call that's on your life. The scripture talked about one of the scriptures we talked about in class that talked about the continuity of a generational anointing. Acts 6 and 7. And the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. You know, there needs to be a continuity or a continuation. You know, sons must realize that the blessing that they desire comes through the hands of their father, you know, naturally and even more so spiritually, your spiritual father, you know, and when you recognize that, then you know the importance of the connection. You know the importance of you getting everything. You know, one of the things as a father, my son came home from he lives in Florida now, Gainesville. And I mean, the 2-3 days he was home, I'm still trying to import stuff to him. You know, he misplaced his wallet. I started lecturing to him about keeping things together and telling him there's devices you can put on your wallet and your phone that beeps when they get apart from each other, you know, so that you can keep up. You know, a father will always, they want to impart. And all we need to do is just listen and learn. Amen. Let me move on. I got 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Well, really, I think I almost just about done it. Praise God. It's been an honor and a privilege and a blessing to serve this year. And I thank God for each and every one of you. I mean, the one of the things that impressed me about this class is that I don't think I saw the numbers decrease. I think just about everybody who was here at the beginning of the year is still here. You know, one of the things I always tell people is you want to complete the assignment. Don't, you know, stick with, you know, if God put it on your heart to do something, don't let nothing deter you from the assignment, because that's one of the greatest things in your life is to fulfill that, because you'll never go to the next level until you complete the assignment, you know, and people who try to jump, you know, like if you say, you know, when you're young and you're running up the stairs, you might skip 2 or 3 steps and get up to the next step, you know, but in spiritual things, you can't do that. You know, you can't take the elevator to the top floor. You got to take every step, because each step, each process is a developmental stage in your life so that you can get what you need to get to be successful, to be victorious, you know, because the enemy, he wants to do just a few things, to kill, to steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But in order to go through that abundant life in ministry, you got to go through the process. You know, you're not going to be a great success overnight. You know, you're not going to be the best minister next week. You know, but it's as you fulfill the call, serve as Elijah did, you know, stay connected, stay loyal, as we talked about. You can't help but be a blessing. And God is the one that brings the promotion, you know, as we talked about earlier. And that's how you bring honor to yourself, honor to your pastor. And what the last thing I want to say, which was the first thing I said, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed greater than an honor seed. It'll produce the greatest level of harvest in your life. So always, every chance you get, sow a seed of honor. Amen. It's